calling, possess the land. And it doesn't cover the whole scope of what I want to talk about this morning, but it at least captures part of it. I want to start with this scripture in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through, chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. For we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed to us, the sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. That's from the New King James Version. That's the version I normally read and study from. I want to read it also from the New Living Translation. Paul says, we will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. We are not reaching beyond our boundaries. And I begin with this passage this morning because I want to establish this fact. I want to say that each one of us has a sphere. The one translation uses, the New King James uses that word. The sphere that God has given to us. This translation uses the word boundaries. God has given us all boundaries. Each one of us has a sphere. Each one of us has boundaries within which we are called to serve God, in which we are called to operate in. And you might say, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter where, because, you know, I love the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord here. I'm going to serve the Lord wherever, however He wants me to. But it is important. It is important that we understand our sphere, that we understand our boundaries, that we understand our place of responsibility. Number one, it's important because we don't want to overstep our bounds. That's what Paul says at the end there. He says, we're not reaching beyond these boundaries. Even the Apostle Paul, you would think he would have some, you know, liberty to go wherever and do whatever. But he said, no, I have boundaries that God has given me. There's a place and a way and a certain focus that God has given me in ministry. I'm not going to reach beyond those. And it's important that we understand that. I was thinking of a silly example. Did you ever, when your children were small, if you had, maybe your kids are grown like ours or whatever, maybe you still have small children in the house, but let's say you have a house guest. Somebody comes over and they're visiting you and your child misbehaves. And the person takes it upon themselves to discipline your child. Right now, your child may well have done something wrong and they need to be disciplined, but it's not that person's responsibility, right? It's not their area of responsibility to discipline your child in your home for something that they did. So it's the old, and I kind of joked around with that commercial a couple of weeks ago, it's the stay in your lane, bro, sort of thing. You know, stay in your lane. Understand where your area of responsibility is and don't go beyond it. But even more significantly, even more important, is not just, you know, not overstepping our bounds, but knowing the important, you know, of where our sphere, the importance of knowing where our sphere is, to know the areas where God has given us responsibility. On the one hand, we don't want to overstep our bounds, but at the same time, neither do we want to neglect the area that God has given us that's under our care, right? In the spiritual realm, we have a sphere. We have a place where God has called us. We have boundaries within which we walk out the call of God on our lives. I hope you understand that. Now, as we go along, I think it'll become clearer and clearer. And we will give an account before God for how we have stewarded, how we have handled those areas that God has given to us. There's another word. It's a legal word. Tim Archer, it's funny, he brought this word up just in conversation this morning. It's the word jurisdiction. We have a jurisdiction. Jurisdiction means the extent of the power to make legal decisions and judgments. Sometimes you might hear somebody say, this court has no jurisdiction in this case. Our police departments, CJ, I think he's out with Hayden, but he would vouch for this. as a police officer, you have your area of jurisdiction, right? If you're in a particular town or city or county, generally speaking, you don't, you know, exercise jurisdiction in another place. I'm sure there's exceptions to that and all. But generally speaking, you've got to understand where your jurisdiction is. And it's such an important thing that we know and that we understand. God has given every single one of us a jurisdiction, or jurisdictions. I'll say that in a plural. So what's the first one? What's the first one? Anybody? That's the second one. Right, ourselves. Right, I mean, it's so simple, right? We are responsible for the actions, the decisions, and the attitudes in our own life. That's part of our, and that's so obvious, you know, it might almost seem like, you know, we could look beyond that, but that's important, right? We're responsible for ourselves. Secondly, is what I think Matt mentioned, family. From there, it could look, you know, go to something like our job, our professional career, our professional life. But even beyond those things, which we all have, we also, as Christians, we have areas of responsibility. And this all, it comes under, you know, all those things I mentioned, ourselves, our family, our career, or wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves. But there's things that God has given us that we're meant, areas of responsibility, areas of jurisdiction, boundaries, where we are meant to carry out and walk out the call of God on our lives. And this can take on a number of different forms. Many times, it's defined simply, at least in part, by our physical location, where God has called us, and the responsibility that He's given to us. Where has God called you, and what is the responsibility that you have? Sometimes our jurisdiction is not necessarily a geographical or a physical location, but it might relate more to a particular burden that God has put in your heart. Maybe it's pro-life, maybe it's human trafficking, maybe it's the persecuted church or something, but God has just given you a burden in that area, and it's not necessarily defined by geographical boundaries. You understand what I'm saying? You with me? Okay? Are you with me? I'm sure. I hope so. I asked the Lord many years ago, I said, where is my jurisdiction? Where are the boundaries that you established for me? Now, mind you, I'm in my office praying, been here in the community for a few years, and so I'm just saying, Lord, I just want to understand the boundaries that you have for me, the areas where you've called me and such. And the first thing, you know the church by Harvest Christian Fellowship, but when we came here and we planted the church, and this wasn't my idea, this was Pastor Reiling in Brockport when he sent us out here to start the church, he said, in that church, you know, which was called Golden Heights Christian Center, its corporate name was Christian Center Church of Monroe County. So he said, why don't you name the church Christian Center Church of Orleans County? That wasn't my idea. I hadn't given any thought to it, really. That wasn't like really on my radar screen. It's okay. That's fine. So we are incorporated still to this day as Christian Center Church of Orleans County. Then we started, as Tim was already referencing a moment ago, we started the what we know now as CareNet. But at the time, it was the Orleans County Pregnancy Counseling Center, when it first began. And I don't even know if I had anything to do with the name. I'm sure, you know, the board or somehow, you know, we came up with that name. Then a few years later, we started the Christian school. And I had all these, like, really fancy names in my head for the school. And somebody said, let's just call it the Orleans County Christian School. Okay, that works. And so as I'm praying and I'm seeing this pattern, I lift my head and there's I never remember what to call it thing in my office, like the tapestry thing. Is that what you call it? Looks like a rug, you know, it hangs on the wall, and as they sell them, I don't know if they still do around the county, and it's just all these scenes of Orleans County. It's the courthouse, it's the, you know, the fishing thing, the farm thing, all the stuff that, you know, people think about with Orleans County, and right along top of it, big words, Orleans County. So, okay, God, I get the idea, right? I understand where my jurisdiction is. I understand my sphere and my boundaries. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't do ministry outside of, you know, Orleans County. But I understand that my primary focus is this area. Now, please, I trust you understand this. I'm not saying I'm the only one. You say, oh, well, Tim's got that covered, right? You know, Right? That's not the way it works. God gives a lot of people those sorts of jurisdictions. God puts that heart on many, many, many people. Some of you are meant to operate in that similar sphere. Maybe in different ways. It might take on different forms and maybe a different focus. Some of you don't necessarily even live within the boundaries of this county, right? Some are from Niagara, from Genesee, or from Monroe, or whatever. But maybe God has called you and given you jurisdiction here. Or you could live here and have jurisdiction outside of here. You know, it's all God can do whatever God wants to do. But you have to find what that is in your life. The boundaries, the sphere, the jurisdiction that God has given you. Whether it's defined by geographical boundaries, if that's part of it, or whether it's a specific area of ministry. And here's the thing. The bottom line is this. Why is this so important? We need to know where we're called, right? We need to know the place on the wall where God is positioning us. I use the imagery from the book of Nehemiah. Every person had their place on the wall. They had their trowel in one hand, their sword in the other hand, and they had their place on the wall. And it's interesting, when you read through Nehemiah, their place on the wall, almost in every situation, was right in front of their own house. You know? There's not a lot of, you know, mystery there. We've got to know where we're called. We've got to know our place on the wall. Why is that so important? Like I said, you can say, what difference does it make? I'm saved. You know, I can serve the Lord wherever and however. I get what you're saying, but here's the thing, and this is one of the most important things I want to say this morning. The reason why it is so important to know your sphere, to know your boundaries, is because when you understand the boundaries that God has given you, there is a God-given authority and a God-given anointing that comes on you when you're operating in that sphere. Amen? Okay. You're like, you're so quiet. When you know your sphere, and you're operating in the niche God has for you, He puts His mantle of authority on your life in that sphere. Without that, you can labor for the Lord, but you may not see the fruit. You may not ever see the degree of fruit that God would ultimately want to see come through your life. Many years ago, I've quoted this a few times, a man named Dennis Peacock, Bible teacher I heard years ago, and he said it this way, and I don't remember. I think this is the way he said it. He said, if God has called you to St. Louis, you can have authority in Fort Lauderdale. Scratch that from the record. If God has called you to St. Louis, you can be saved in Fort Lauderdale, but you can't have authority. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not an issue of your salvation. It's not an issue of, you know, God's heart toward you or anything. It's just that you won't have the authority, that mantle on your life, if you're not where God has called you. And that's why, I don't want to step on any toes, but that's why I get up, maybe I do, but that's why I get uptight about when Christians make decisions like non-Christians in terms of, well, there's a better paying job here, or, you know, I like the weather here, or I don't like the taxes there, or what, you know, and we make our decisions just the same way that people that don't know the Lord make their decisions. And I'm not saying God, because God moves people and God takes people here and there. He's God, right? All I'm saying is at least stop and ask Him, God, what do You have for me? Not just what I, you know, think would be an ideal situation for myself. Maybe that is what God has for you, what you already desire in your heart. But maybe it's something different. And, you know, I said this a few weeks ago, with the amazing degree of insanity that keeps coming out of Albany, right? I found myself, I shared this a few weeks ago, thinking, Why are we here? Right? Let's go somewhere where at least I feel a little bit more like I'm in the United States of America and not the People's Republic of New York. Hard to grow a church when everybody wants to leave, right? Yeah. Remember we had a president, our former president said there's some of us that are just clinging, are bitterly clinging to guns and religion, right? Remember that? I have a different take on that. I cherish faith and freedom. Amen? It's not about guns and religion. It's about freedom and it's about faith. And those are important things. But anyway, so it just seems like, you know, almost daily, this, you hear things and it's just so out of phase with, 180 degrees out of phase with what the values that Christians hold, that we should hold in our heart. So I had to come to this place where, because I had those thoughts, which is rare for me, because I love being here, even with all the things that are negative, you know, the weather and the taxes and all that stuff, because it's this is my land, right? This is where I know God's called me to it. But I was starting to waver in that, and I finally had to, you know, just say, okay, I am here because God called me here. This is our land. These are the people that God has called us to. This is our mission field. I'm not here for myself. I didn't choose to be here for the weather and the taxes, right? Isn't that what your mom used to say, Dee? I live in New York for the weather and the taxes, right? I want to share a scripture with you from Isaiah 62. Love this verse. It says, no longer. This is, now again, context. This is God speaking to the Jewish people about Jerusalem and about the nation of Israel, or the land of Israel. It says, no longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah. Remember Dharma Rao's, was it his daughter or granddaughter that was named Hephzibah? Yeah. But you, he's a pastor in India, Tim and I, Kenny's not here today, but we were over in India. Maybe it was his granddaughter that was named Hephzibah. And your land, Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Little glossary here. Hephzibah means my delight is in her. And Beulah, how about we know what Beulah means? Married. Beulah means married. Again, as I said, this was written to the Jewish people about Jerusalem, and it helps us to understand the heart that God has put in the Jewish people for Jerusalem and for their land, for the nation of Israel. God gave it to them. They are married to that land. Somebody just needs to tell the United Nations that, right? This is their land. God, they're married to that land. But I have felt, and again, I'm not trying to cross over and apply this in an exact same way, but my point is this for us, and at least me personally, I have felt a similar tug in my heart as it pertains to this land. I feel married to the land. I believe that God's delight is on this land. And you know what? There's God's people all over this world that feel the same way about the place where they are. It's not like this place is any more special. It's just when God puts something in your heart and you feel that this is the land and wherever that is. You know, I'm not trying to get everybody, yeah, you got to be here. You know, but just that you would understand that God gives everyone, again, boundaries, sphere, areas of influence and so forth. If you own a piece of property, or if you own a house, or if you own a business, let's say you own a restaurant or something, you see things that other people don't see in regards to that, right? You see things, you notice things, you exercise a level of care that others don't. You notice things that other people don't notice because it's something that you have been given to steward. You see it through a different set of eyes. And when you get to that place where you know where God has called you, you begin to see it through a different set of eyes. And here's a little sidebar. It's very much along the lines, but it's a little just a second of a detour here. A lot of Christians struggle with knowing their spiritual gifts, right? I don't know. I don't feel like I'm operating in my spiritual gifts. I wonder what gifts, you know, some say, oh, God, He must have skipped over me or whatever, you know. We go through those struggles sometimes in our life. If that's you, I believe, and I don't just say this lightly, I believe this is a word from the Lord for you, for some of you here today. And God says this, and again, I don't throw those terms around lightly, but I really felt as I was preparing this message that the Lord spoke to me to say this to you, and you know who you are here today. I believe God is saying, God's saying, I have given you gifts, and you will begin to see them manifest in your life as you begin to walk in the sphere to which I have called you. Amen? That it's not just, see, the gifts don't operate in a vacuum, right? It's not like, oh, God's given me these gifts. They operate, right? When Jesus said, you will see power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? Acts 1:8. And it was related to where God had called them, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. The gifts don't operate in a vacuum. They operate in the place where God has assigned us to be. So maybe for some of us, the focus isn't so much the issue of what are the gifts that God has given me. It's where has God called me to? That where do I need to put my roots down and plant myself? Whether it's a physical, geographical location or a particular thing that God has given you. And then you will see the gifts that God has given you begin to manifest themselves more in your life. Another verse, Deuteronomy 11:24. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. And again, context. This is God speaking to the Jewish people, nation of Israel. We need to keep that in mind. We are not the nation of Israel. We don't apply that verse in the same way, but there is a principle that we can glean from that scripture. In a spiritual sense, God has called us to, back to the title of the message, possess the land. God has called us to possess the land, whether it's a physical, geographical location or some other kind of sphere, God has called us to possess the land. And that's why for me, sometimes I like to go prayer walking, right? And some of you may like to do that too, because I like to set my feet places. Right? And I don't go around saying, this is my land, God has given it to me, right? That's not what I'm saying, that's not what I'm praying, but I understand it's a stewardship. We are stewards of the land God has called us to, God has given to us. We're called to possess it in a spiritual sense, and we're called to steward it. When you're operating in your sphere within your boundaries, God will give you a burden for that place or for that situation, for that ministry, whatever it is. God's people are spiritual gatekeepers to the land. Leonard Jones talked about that last fall in our prayer class that we had. If you're walking in the sphere that God has called you to, you know, be that your home or your community, we need to take seriously the things that we allow into that sphere, right? Now, in your home, it's a pretty simple thing. Somebody knocks on your front door, you say, no, you can't come in here. You cannot bring this into my house. Right now, how do you do that in the spirit? How do you do that in, you know, related to like Orleans County or that sphere where God has called you to? We do it through prayer. We exercise authority in the spirit through prayer. We pray against the entrance of things like drugs or illicit things or occult activity in our community. We build a hedge. We build a wall around our community in the spirit that says, no, the enemy cannot bring those things here. We are not ignorant of his devices. He can't bring those things here. And we fight that battle. And you're more likely to pray that way when you understand the responsibility that God has given you for that particular situation or area. And you know what? If God's people won't do this, the devil has many people who are willing to steward the land. Do you hear what I'm saying? If we don't step up and steward the land and do the things God has called us to do, there's plenty of people that'll take our place. And we won't like the results of it. Amen? And we see the fruit of that even now as I speak. When I first began thinking about this, and it's not a new thought for me, and it's not for, I'm sure, many of you, and you probably heard me talk about this before, but this was the thought, that the seed thought that God dropped in my mind a month or two back, the importance of making a territorial commitment. the importance of making a territorial commitment. You know, there are such things as territorial spirits, right? You ever heard that term before? I'll give you a couple examples. The most well-known one, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, in the passage about the armor of God, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These principalities, these powers, they have been assigned. There's some hierarchy in the darkness, in the kingdom of darkness, some hierarchy of principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And many of you know the story in Daniel, when Daniel is praying about the nation of Israel and the future of the nation of Israel, and he's asking God for answers, and an angel comes to him, right? I love this story. And he says, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia. So here's this scenario. Daniel is fasting and he's praying. He's saying, God, I need you, please speak to me. Show me what the future is for our land, for our nation. And this angel is dispatched to come to Daniel. But this angel gets into a battle with this entity called the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Right? It's not a human being. These are spiritual, territorial spirits, principalities, and powers. They don't want to see the well-being of Israel. And so Michael, who is, when you read scripture and you read about the Archangel Michael, it's like his area of territory is the nation of Israel. And so he comes and he battles, and this angel gets away and goes. And it's crazy to think about all this stuff happening in the spiritual realm. He said, Michael came and he helped me, and because I had been left alone with the kings of Persia, with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. But you know, we've prevailed in that battle, and I have come. From the first day that you began to pray about this, I was on my way, but I got into a battle. Because why? Because there's territorial spirits that are at work. And this is so foreign to a lot of us as Christians today. Why do you think that there are certain prevailing attitudes or prevailing sins or prevailing struggles in certain locations? It's because of this idea of territorial spirits and how the enemy works. And sometimes when you go somewhere, I remember, I don't know if it was when I was with Tim or when I was with Henry, I think, one time when we went to India. And I remember I felt for the first time, and we got off the train in Ponur, right? Remember, got off the train, and it's just like I felt this heaviness on me that I had never felt like before. And I knew I wasn't, what's the Wizard of Oz thing, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. I knew I wasn't in Kansas anymore. And there were just different spiritual realities there in that place. And I could feel it. Sometimes when you live somewhere for a long time, you don't feel it. You don't sense it. You become kind of immune to it. And I've had friends come, you know, from, I feel something different. It's not that there's more oppression here than there is somewhere. It's just it's different, and it feels different sometimes. You can even sense it in that way. One more scripture. I think it's the last one. Oh, I love this. John Rich was mentioning this in prayer last week. Actually, there's actually two mentions of this same story. One says it's the guy Eleazar. Another one says it's this guy named Shammah. And this is a story about, and I don't know if it's the same instance and just the name is used differently or whatever, or if it's two guys that did basically the same thing. This is one of the recountings of David's mighty men. And I love reading through that chapter. There's one in 2 Samuel, this one, then there's one in Chronicles. I don't remember if it's 1 or 2 Chronicles. But there's this guy named Shammah, and he's one of David's mighty men. And it says, after him was Shammah, the son of the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together in a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, so the people fled from the Philistines. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines so that the Lord brought about a great victory. Picture this. This one man, this warrior, there was a piece of ground. And I wish, you know, there was more information about this whole thing, but this is all we know about it. And the Philistines were there. Somehow they had come, and this guy Shammah, against a whole troop of the Philistines, he went out and stood in the middle of a field of lentils with his sword in his hands, and he fought against the Philistines. He prevailed. The Lord brought about a great victory. And I just love that, because sometimes you have got to take your stand in the middle of the ground, in the middle of the field, and just say, God, in the name of Jesus, you know, this, I'm standing my ground, because this is where you've called me. This is where you've given me authority. This is where my jurisdiction is. I love that story. Stationed himself in the middle of the ground, said, no, the devil cannot have this in Jesus' name. Love it. I love it. I love it. In closing, let me say this. The church, I think, sometimes is afflicted with a passivity that is not from God. And this passivity, it sounds very spiritual, because this is the way it sounds. I just want the will of the Lord done. Do you hear what I'm saying? Which is, I mean, who would ever argue with that, right? We all want the will of the Lord. But sometimes, friends, that is an excuse to not fight for what God wants you to fight for. Oh, I just want the will of the Lord to be done. Which is basically just, I'm going to sit back and I ain't going to do nothing. And God's going to do what God's going to do. I just want the will of the Lord to be done. It all sounds so spiritual. God, maybe he's saying to you or to me, if you want to see my will done, then you better get off your blessed assurance and go out and fight for it. Amen? When God gave the nation of Israel the promised land, it wasn't presented to them on a silver platter. God said, this is your inheritance. These are your boundaries. I mean, he spelled out the boundaries as clear. They're just crystal clear. And he said, this is yours. Now go fight for it. Go fight for it. This is your inheritance. These are your boundaries. Go out and fight for it. Possess the land that I have called you to, whether it's a physical location. Again, I'm going to say that again and again like I have. Some of us have let the enemy plunder our goods and steal our inheritance, and we've been unwilling to fight to take it back. I want you to stand with me, and we'll close things up here. Suppose close relative of yours passed away, and they left you an inheritance. What's the word? Is the word bequeath? Is that what that means? Or is that the wrong word? But, you know, somebody's given you an inheritance. Pardon me? Bequest? Or whatever. Yeah, I don't know how to say it right. But, and so, you know, you have someone who's left, you know, I am leaving this to my nephew Charlie, right? And someone else comes along and says, no, I'm taking it. That's mine. If you don't take your stand, if you don't take whatever steps are necessary, that person's going to enjoy your inheritance for as long as you let them. Okay? Even though it's yours, even though you legally have title to it, and it's yours and it's been promised to you, if you don't fight for it, somebody else will use it and take it as if it's their own. And I trust you see, I know that's a strange scenario. It's probably not going to happen in the natural too often. But in the spiritual, it happens all the time. God says, this is yours. This belongs to the church. This belongs to my people. And we say, oh, well, whatever. You know, will the Lord be done? And we don't fight for it. And somebody else gets to use that, not for the kingdom of God, but for their own purposes or the kingdom of darkness or whatever. This is exactly what happens when we don't take our stand our ground, and fight for the things that God has for us. So I just encourage you, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just pray that you would awaken our hearts, Lord, to the degree that we have maybe just kind of been lulled to sleep a little bit, and we let things slip out of our hands. We've let things slip out of our grasp. we haven't been willing to be diligent enough, or even, I know this is not a word, this is a word that could be misunderstood, but we haven't been able to be militant enough, you know, to take our stand, to draw the line in the sand and say, this belongs to the kingdom of God. This is something that God has given to His church. God has given to us. And we have a stewardship, God. We have a stewardship here in this land where You've called us, in our families, in many different scenarios, Lord. And because of Your call on our lives, we have Your authority. And we have that mantle and that anointing on our lives. So I pray, God, that You would, again, just quicken our hearts, awaken our spirits, awaken us to the truth of Your word and the truth of Your promises, the truth of Your inheritance, God, so that we can possess it and we can walk in it for the glory of God and for Your kingdom, in Jesus' name.